8:21-28-30. The creation also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also glorified and justified. Thank you. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. My topic is inspired by the following questions. First, what are the relations between freedom, predestination, foreknowledge, and other kinds of divine knowledge? Apparent contradictions between predestination and freedom have triggered the controversy and the debate between Arminianism and Calvinism. And that's a recurring theme in our symposium this weekend. Over time, these same apparent contradictions between freedom and predestination and freedom and foreknowledge have triggered further splinterings among Arminians. We have different views among Arminians as to how foreknowledge and freedom and predestination are related to each other. And the whole debate over open theism is an example of that debate and dialogue going on among Arminians. And in terms of my presentation today, I'd like to suggest that there's another issue also involved here, and that is the issue of different kinds of divine knowledge. Is God's knowledge limited to foreknowledge? I think exploring that question can help us answer the first question: what are the relations between freedom, predestination, and foreknowledge? The second question that inspires my topic is this one. How are the issues in the first question connected with the issue of relations between freedom and free choices? Let me explain what I mean by that. What is the relationship between freedom and free choices? Let's look at it from the point of view of foreknowledge, for example. Does God foreknow that we will be free, or does God also know the individual free choices that we will make? In other words, how detailed is His foreknowledge? What about His predestination? Does God predestine that we would be free, or does He predestine each individual free choice? You see the difference between freedom and free choices in terms of foreknowledge and predestination. So I'd like to explore that a little bit also in my paper. Some suggest that God foreknows and predestines our freedom by limiting His own foreknowledge and also limiting His predestination of our individual free choices. He predestines and foreknows our freedom, but not our free choices. Others suggest that foreknowledge and predestination, by definition, indicate that our freedom and our free choices are determined. There's that interesting tension between predestination and freedom. And within a Calvinistic perspective, we do have freedom, but it's a limited freedom. A freedom to go along with what God has predestined. But we go along freely, without any feeling of compulsion. You know, from our Arminian perspective, you know, God is forcing us. But the Calvinists say, God is not really forcing you. He's predestining you in such a way that you freely choose to end up in the place that He has determined that you will be. So that's an interesting issue that I wrestle with in my paper. The third question that inspires my paper is this. How are the first issues that we've discussed, question one and question two, related to the issue of being in Christ by grace and through faith? What's the relationship between grace and faith in relationship to being in Christ? For we are predestined in Christ by grace through faith. For the Calvinist style of theology, we are in Christ by God's irresistible grace through faith which is given to certain individuals. For the Arminian style of theology, we are in Christ by God's resistible grace through faith that is given to everyone. So these are some of the questions that I have in mind when I propose the topic, predestined to freedom according to foreknowledge and other kinds of divine knowledge. My proposal of answers to these questions is organized in terms of the five key elements in Paul's teaching on freedom in Christ that are presented in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Those key elements are foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. So let's get right into it, first by discussing the issue of different kinds of divine knowledge. Is God's knowledge limited to foreknowledge? Or are there different kinds of divine knowledge? 1a, foreknowledge and predestination as two kinds of divine knowledge. The Bible does not explicitly describe predestination as a kind of knowledge. However, knowledge and predestination seem to be closely connected in that God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, Jeremiah 29:11. So God knows his predestined will. So predestination is in that sense, in that indirect sense, a kind of knowledge. We won't talk much about foreknowledge right now. We'll come back to that later because it's obviously a kind of knowledge. Foreknowledge is knowing ahead of time. But what about the other elements in Paul's list of key elements? Foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. Is calling a kind of divine knowledge according to Scripture? Foreknowledge and predestination are primordial dimensions of God's knowledge and God's intention from before the foundation of the world. Calling, in biblical terminology, is another kind of divine knowledge that takes place in the context of world history. Those who love the Lord are the called, and if anyone loves God, that one is known of him. 1 Corinthians 8:3. If anyone loves God, that one is known by him. Those who do not love God are not known of God in this way. To them, he will even say, I never knew you. So, in biblical terminology, there are different kinds of divine knowledge. Therefore, there's a difference between God's foreknowing you when you did not know God, Galatians 4:8, and God's knowing you now, after you have known God, or rather, as Paul says, after you are known by God in this way. Galatians 4:8-9. I do not propose that this indicates any limit to God's foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge before the creation of the world is perfect, and God's knowledge of world history as it unfolds is also perfect. God foreknew that he would know us through the interactive knowledge involved in the divine call. Now, I am not professing to understand this just because I'm sharing this with you. I'm just suggesting that this is the language used in Scripture to describe God's knowledge. Not all of God's knowledge is explicitly described as foreknowledge. What about justification? How does that relate to God's knowledge? As I have predicted, the knowledge of the incarnate Christ connected with justification in the following words, Isaiah 53:11, he will see the travail of his soul and will be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. God's knowledge in justification is an act of judgment. We don't usually think of that as knowledge, but in biblical terms, it's described as knowledge. God's knowledge in justification is an act of judgment as in the case when God said to Abraham, "Now I know that you fear God." That's a statement of judgment and justification. "Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son from me." Genesis 22:12. In the New Testament, James describes this knowledge judgment as justification. Was not Abraham, our father, justified when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? I think he's referring back to God's statement to Abraham, "Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son from me." And finally, glorification as knowledge. Again, the Bible does not explicitly use the word knowledge to describe glorification. At the same time, it is implied that God knows his act of glorifying his people. Glorification will involve a knowledge experience on the part of those who are glorified, and this experience is somehow related to the way God knows us. 1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we see through a mirror, dimly. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know, just as I am known by God." Let's move quickly to the second part of my discussion, where I focus on the question of freedom. So we have talked about different kinds of divine knowledge: foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. But how does that all relate to freedom? First, foreknowledge and freedom. It seems to me that from a biblical perspective, there is a harmony between divine foreknowledge and human freedom, in that glorious freedom belongs to the children of God, who are the people of God, the people whom he foreknew. And I'm quoting here from the book of Romans, Romans 8, Romans 9, Romans 11. Glorious freedom belongs to the children of God, who are the people of God, who are the people whom he foreknew. So God foreknew a free people who would experience glorious freedom. So in biblical thinking, there is no contradiction between foreknowledge and freedom. God foreknows that you will be free, Dennis. But does God only foreknow that you will be free, or does he also know your free choices in detail? Romans 11:2 says, "God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew." This indicates that God foreknows faith, since it is through faith that we become God's people. Romans 11:20, "Because of unbelief, they were broken off from God's people, and you stand by faith." God has not cast away those who have faith. The others have been cast away, broken off. So if God foreknows his people, he must foreknow their faith. Faith and unbelief, however, involve free choices, which may be continued or discontinued. Romans 11:22 and 23. "Consider the goodness and severity of God." Goodness and severity. "On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again, if they exercise faith." So one might may freely, through free choice, come to faith, or freely fall away from faith. And that's how one either becomes God's people or loses one's position in the people of God. But God foreknows his people. So he must know not only that his people will be free, but he must foreknow their free choices in order to foreknow his people. That's the suggestion I'm making. Is there a tension between predestination and freedom? From the biblical point of view, there's a harmony between predestination and human freedom. We may present this in two simple steps, based on Romans 8:29 and Romans 8:21. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. It is as predestined brethren of God's sons that we will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So God does not only foreknow who his free people are, he foreknows that they will be free. And he predestines that they will be free. So there's no tension between predestination and freedom. Does he predestine free choices? Now we're getting into difficult issues here. What does the Bible say about free choices and predestination? We have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. This does not mean that God determines all things, since the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not determine all things, but he predestines and works all things according to his will. Not everyone comes to repentance. Therefore, while God works all things, you must work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you to enable you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Do you see the implications there? God works in you as he works in all things. He works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Do you choose freely to will and to do God's good pleasure? Yes, you do. But you couldn't choose it freely if God didn't enable you to do it. God enables us to freely choose to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if God knows all his works from the foundations of the world, then he knows all the works he's going to do to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he has a plan for how he's going to do it. We call it predestination. So, God not only foreknows your free will, he predestines your free will, and yet you remain free. Let's look at God's call in order to get a deeper understanding of how this works. Calling and freedom. The Bible indicates that God has predestined us to freedom according to his call, in that those whom he predestined, he also called. And we are called to freedom, Paul says, in Galatians 5:13. Freedom is that good thing that Paul has in mind when he writes, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called. This is the sense in which God works all things. He providentially uses all things to facilitate what is good for those who are the called. So his foreknowledge, his predestination, and God's calling facilitates the good for those who love the Lord. This includes our free choices. Free choices on the part of those who love the Lord are implied in this teaching. Love that is not free is not love, but rape. God's call presupposes human freedom in that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We must respond to God's call. Our call to God is a call of faith in response to his call by his word, since faith comes by hearing the word of God. The remainder of this text indicates that God's call is not irresistible. Have they not all heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out in all the earth, their words to the end of the world. But all day long have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So God's call is a call to freedom, and it involves calling us to make free choices in response to God's call. Justification and freedom. God has predestined us to freedom according to justification, in that those whom he predestined, he also justified. Justification is the free gift which makes us free from sin. Can you say amen to that? The connection between justification and free choices is evident in Paul's appeal to the Romans to present yourselves. King James Version says, yield yourselves as slaves to righteousness, for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness, but now being made free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. We can freely choose whether we will submit to righteousness or to unrighteousness. But it is God who empowers that choice in us. What about glorification? When we are sanctified and taken into heaven, will we remain sinless because our freedom is taken away? Or does glorification allow for freedom to continue? God has predestined us to freedom according to the glorification. According to glorification, in that those whom he predestined, he also glorified. And those who are glorified are those who will experience glorious freedom. Romans 8, verse 21. Glorification is not the end of our freedom, but the beginning of it for an eternity with God. This process of glorification begins in the present life through the spirit of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So glorification is the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of freedom. So there is no contradiction between glorification and freedom. And this same Spirit that transforms us from one stage of glory to another in sanctification will transform us in the latter day, at the advent of Christ. If the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you now, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you, which is the Spirit of freedom. So I'd like to use those texts to suggest that there's no tension between glorification and freedom. So we've looked at different kinds of divine knowledge connected with foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification, and also seeing how each of these kinds of divine knowledge is directly compatible with freedom within a biblical worldview. Now let's look at how this all relates to being in Christ by grace through faith. The biblical revelation of foreknowledge is centered in the revelation of the mystery of Christ. The Apostle Peter writes concerning Christ, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Sometimes it's translated foreordained, but it's the same word translated foreknown in Romans 8 in this passage. So Christ was foreknown. We were therefore foreknown in Christ from the foundation of the world. According to Paul, those who are ignorant of this mystery are blind to the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. God knew it from the beginning, this mystery, this divine knowledge. But it is now made manifest through the preaching of the gospel. This is the mystery hid from ages, from generations, now manifest to his saints, which is the mystery of Christ. God foreknows us in Christ. He also predestines us in Christ. I determined not to know anything among you, saved Jesus Christ and him crucified. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the foundation of the world to our glory. So God knew us in Christ and predestined us in Christ before the world was created. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to his own purpose. God's will, God's purpose is his predestination. And grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before time began. God predestined us by Jesus Christ. He is the mystery of God's will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed or predestined in himself. We are also called in Christ. Like other kinds of divine knowledge, the call of God is centered in Christ. We are invited or called into the fellowship of Jesus. Called into Christ. Called into the grace of Christ. To obtaining the glory of Christ. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to his purpose, his predestined purpose. Grace given to us in Christ before time began. Just as foreknowledge and predestination are fulfilled in God's call, so calling is fulfilled in justification and glorification. This is evident in the close interrelations of faith, hope, and love, and the interrelations of calling, justification, and glorification in many Bible passages. Those who are called are those who love the Lord. Similarly, the called are those who wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, which works by love. Being justified by faith, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Justification in Christ, which is implied in the calling. Like other kinds of divine knowledge, justification is centered in Christ. Of Him, you are in Christ, who became for us righteousness. Because of time, I'll skip to glorification in Christ. Like other kinds of divine knowledge, God's glorification is also centered in Christ. To God only wise the glory through Jesus Christ forever. Romans 16:27. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. This is God's riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19. Salvation is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Divine foreknowledge in itself is not sufficient to cause our freedom or to cause our free choices. Apart from God's predestined purpose, foreknowledge would only indicate the possibility of freedom. Our freedom would not exist if God was not free, and if He did not also predestine us to freedom. Similarly, foreknowledge and predestination involve God's knowledge and God's intentions. However, even God's knowledge and God's predestined will is not sufficient to cause our freedom or our free choices. In order for freedom to be actualized, God must call us to freedom through justification and glorification. And I'm suggesting that by distinguishing these different aspects of the dynamism of divine knowledge, we will understand that there is space for freedom. If God's knowledge was only foreknowledge, then what He had foreknown would inevitably be just by virtue of the fact that He foreknew it. But God does not accomplish anything by foreknowing it. God not only foreknows what He could do to make us free, He chooses to do it. And He knows His choice, which is another dynamic of His knowledge. And then He follows through on His choice by calling us into a relationship with Himself. And He experiences that relationship as a knowledge relationship. How does God experience the difference between His foreknowledge and His other kinds of divine knowledge? I'm sure we can't fully understand that. But we can catch a glimpse of this in Romans 8. God, who foreknows all things, waits and groans with us for the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of our final justification. We who have the Spirit groan eagerly, waiting for this future hope. We hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us, also with groaning. And the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Christ also makes intercession for us with the same groanings. We would have no hope for the future if God Himself did not have hope for us. Now the God of hope fill you, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much.